I mean, fortunately, I'm so loud, I don't need a microphone, but I don't like to feel that way about myself. So we basically mic, so my ego is not bruised. I love being with you all on every Sunday. I particularly love worshiping with you on Trinity Sunday. I love to be a part of a congregation that values stopping once a year to discuss the Trinity. And in the church calendar, it always falls the Sunday immediately following Pentecost Sunday. And that makes logical sense because, you know, I already talked last week about how we don't talk about the Holy Spirit a lot, but you certainly have to stop and talk about the Holy Spirit a little before you can talk about Trinity Sunday, or otherwise it's, you know, bi-unity Sunday, and that's not the same thing. Our faith, as Baptists, we don't talk about dogmas a lot, and we don't talk about kind of doctrines in the way that some other denominations do, but the Trinity is one of the centrally essential and bizarre things of our faith. Just as we talk about people who profess to have faith in Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God and was sent of God, and that Jesus suffered and was crucified and was buried and died and rose again, and that the Spirit has come upon us, so too, of great importance in our faith and a great distinction of our faith is this idea that we worship a God who is constantly in community with God's self. And that is different than most other religions in the world. Most other religions that are born at the same time as Judaism, with a broad brush, allow me to paint for a moment, come out of this idea that the pantheon of gods are in constant conflict with one another. Marduk, Tiamat, these early first century, pre-first century religions are all about gods who war with one another, even the Greeks and the Romans, gods who war with one another, and out of their constant conflict comes the order of the world. But Jesus explains a reality in which it is unity that creates the world order. That is important because it says at the root of our faith, unity is more important than conflict, and that relationship is more important than victory. Well, that is not very easy to talk about because sometimes victory feels a lot better. Winning is fun. Being in relationship is fun some of the time. Let's talk about it in the lens of these scriptures for a moment. You know, we've talked a few weeks ago about the pioneers of sayings in the Bible and how Peter, when the blanket was brought down, was the first one to ever say, "It tastes like chicken," right? Well, Jesus is the first one to kind of have this dreaded call you get from people that says, "We need to talk, but we can't talk about it right now." Well, let me just be honest. You need to talk to me about something, I want an outline, at least. If we don't have time to do the whole thing, just give me a brief abstract at the beginning. Because, man, that just feeds my anxiety. I just want to know, like, what do you want to talk about? I would love to talk to you about whatever it is, as long as you will tell me what it is. But Jesus starts out this passage here in the upper room, right before he's about to go suffer and die, and he says, "I got a lot of more stuff to say to you, but we can't talk about it right now." The disciples have to be amazingly anxious. They have walked into Jerusalem with this victor who has been praised by the crowds around him. And now here is Jesus once again saying, "No, no, really, this is about suffering and sacrifice, and I got a lot of more stuff to say to you guys, but we're not going to talk about it right now. Instead, there's going to be a spirit that I'm going to send, and we're going to talk about it then." On the one hand, it's probably anxiety-producing. Excuse me. But on the other hand, it is a deeply emotionally intelligent and grace-filled response to people in pain. Jesus says, "There are things we need to talk about, but you cannot bear them right now. You're going to have to grow up and experience a little bit more life before you can really hear what I have to say to you. That's a real challenge to us, particularly those of us who are adults in the room, because sometimes it's not enjoyable to feel like no matter how old we are, we still have space to grow. It'd be nice just to be done, right? But what the God who is Trinity says to us is that there is always space for progression. There is always space to move forward and to learn more deeply what it means to love your enemy as yourself. The mechanism by which this works for us is explained by Jesus to the disciples, that there are more things that have to be said, but you can't bear them right now. And in fact, it's going to take God residing in you in the form of the Holy Spirit for you to begin to be able to comprehend and bear that which I am telling you. It is a grace-filled and honest response to the variety of levels with which we enter a relationship with God. Paul will repeat it other places. He'll say, you know, at first you drank milk, but it's time at some point to get to the meat of gospel work. And yet, there is something in us that expects everybody to be on the same level. Right? If I've figured something out, I clearly expect you to have already mastered that. That became very clear to me in home ec in high school. My grandmother sewed all my projects for me, I'm just going to be honest. Because the things that I was expected to know how to do, I had no idea how to do. And at the same time, I wanted great sympathy for myself with my fat little hobbit fingers. I couldn't work a needle correctly. But I have a hard time offering that same sympathy and empathy to others who don't get what I want them to get. And yet I profess to worship the God who values relationship. Paul, writing to the Romans, in trying to explain the complexity of the faith, which he is handing down, says it like this: we are justified by faith, that through the work of Jesus we have this peace with God. And that's the kind of central turning point for him, that it's not because we have made some peace offering, it's not because we have done something worthwhile, but because of someone else's intervention, we have peace with our Creator. And not only do we have peace, but now we have access to a different level of grace. And not only that, but we also have a companion in the suffering, both real and existential, that we endure. And that companion and that endurance and that structure of peace and intervention is in creating in us the ability to therefore be same ambassadors of that to others. It is a difficult world we live in. It's not that the world's going to hell in a handbasket, because I promise you every generation has thought that. You just have to look through newspapers. But it is that the reality is that from the beginning of time, we have found it easier to not get along than to get along. We have found it easier to prey on one another and to denigrate one another than we have to value one another where we are at. It's the same right now. It is easy to disagree and to let disagreement lead to demonization. I don't like your idea, and suddenly I don't like you. It is hard to love. It is important that we as people value a Trinitarian faith, and that we exhibit that in how we live. And so what does that mean? If the basis of our faith is the God is who is in relationship with God's self, what does that mean for how we live with our neighbors? Fortunately, I have a great volunteer to show us today. Adam, can you come up with your box of toys? Today is Amy and Adam's 6th wedding anniversary, by the way, everybody. So I said to Adam this morning, you can keep holding that for a second. I said, hey, can you juggle? And Amy said, yes, he can. So I found these things in the closet, and he has not tried to juggle with them at all. So the first thing Adam's going to do is try to juggle. Just give it a shot. And I'm going to tell you what, this is going to be how grace-filled we are. We're going to give him a few chances. And if he fails, we're just going to pretend like he did it well, okay? We didn't even have to pretend, man. That's awesome. We didn't make liars out of everybody this morning. Good job, Adam. Now, let me have one of these ducks for a second, okay? All right. So now, Adam and I are going to juggle together. Are you ready? Now, I'm going to try hard, okay? Maybe. Wait, let's move away from the candle. That seems it was like just about a year ago we almost burned down the sanctuary on Pentecost. So let's up our, you ready? Hang on, I could do it. Come on, let's try it again. Oh, these squeak, that's even better. Okay, ready? I'm never going to... Never going to be able to do this. You know what? Let's try without the... Let's do the bowling pins instead. I bet that's going to help. They're not real heavy. I hit him with one earlier, like down here, and he's like, it hurt my ribs. And I said, if your ribs are down there, buddy, that's... We got other problems, man. I might have hit him higher than that. I don't know. You ready? So now we're just playing catch. Like a really slow game of catch. So this is what life is like, right? Now, I don't know about the bowling pins, but Adam on his own juggles okay, right? No practice, no prep, not having tried the rubber duckies at all, and he juggled for a moment. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. They evaluate how you did very well. You did well for no prep, okay? So life, though, is not about juggling by yourself. It's about trying to juggle with other people. And honestly, most of them are as bad at it as I am. And by the way, this is metaphor. Please do not go around throwing bowling pins at people, okay? That's only okay for me. I just worry about y'all sometimes. This is not literal. This is metaphor, okay? So most of life is like this, right? We're juggling. And just hold real still for a second, okay? And sometimes, I'm going to scoot a little bit closer so it doesn't hurt as bad. Isn't the anxiety the best part of it? Where will I hit him? You know, most of the time, it's like we're trying to juggle, and the people you're juggling with, sometimes they're not trying to juggle, they're trying to peg you, right? They're like, hey, you didn't catch that, man. What's wrong with you? You'll give Adam a hand. I won't make him do this anymore. I'm a little tempted to throw something at you while you walk away, but I won't. First of all, I just feel like that was the Holy Spirit in it because he could juggle it all, and I didn't know he could. That was just one of those God coincidences. You know, I don't like people throwing things at me, just in general. I don't like being wounded by the words and actions of people who are my friends, my acquaintances. But I get somewhere deep down that I was made not only for relationship with the God who created me, but that intrinsically, if I'm going to be in a healthy relationship with the God who created me, that I must be in healthy relationship with the people around me. They cannot be faithfully separated. Life is going to hurt us. That's what Paul is saying about when we suffer, it's producing character. He probably had juggling with bowling pins in mind. We're not promised some sort of life where we live faithfully and we emerge unscathed. We are promised a God who is among us and who will lead us as we are able to bear. So what we are left with to be faithful is to trust that we will not be wounded beyond the one who's walked with us. That we will not be wounded worse than the God who rescued us. And that we have one who's gone before us, who has shown us how to engage with even those who would hate us, and to value relationship over resolution. It would be a lot more fun to juggle with people who juggled well. It's like playing catch. It's fun to play catch when people catch and throw back. It's less fun to just chase balls all day. But we are called to grow up and to care more about the person on the other end of the bowling pins than we are about our vaudeville act. The pretense and the facade that we're going to make it with the Ringling Brothers ought to go out the window, because we value the person more than the product. That is what is at the root of a Trinitarian faith. That we are called to value our neighbor and to love, because we are born and created and sustained out of the God who is constantly in love with God's self. Easy? No. Faithful and powerful and right? Yes. We have been reconciled, and now we are to reconcile through our pain even those who wound us. Amen.